Daf is Daf Kuf Mem. So we got to the very last line of Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara had, there's a mission that says, Nosin Beitza B'Misanenes, that you place the egg in some type of strainer and you allow the white and the yellow part of the egg to separate from each other. So the Gemara wants to know, why is this not a violation of Borei or Merakid? So the Gemara explains, Tani Yaakov Karecha, going on to Daf Kuf Mem now, the fish ain't Osin Osa, El Lagavan, you're only doing this for the purpose of coloring the chardel, to bring the yellow down, to make the mustard more yellow, and it wasn't an issue, you weren't concerned with the borer, you didn't really care about the borer aspect of it, and therefore, the Gemara says it's fine. So Gemara now says, Itmar. Chardel, now that we spoke about chardel and the mustard, this we've gone to a long tangent now of lush and kneading, different types of things. So the Gemara says, Itmar, chardel shalashu me'er Shabbos. If you have mustard that was already mixed and kneaded from before Shabbos, lemachar, the next day, amarav mimamcha bekli of alo b'yad. You're allowed to mix it together, the mustard and whatever else you put in, the water, the wine, you can mix it with a kli, but you can't use your hand. At this stage, for some reason, the Gemara thinks that using a kli is considered shinoi, and using your hand is considered normal. So you can't do a lush, you can't do nida with your hand, that's too normal. So Gemara says, Amar le Shmuel b'yad, the hand, that's considered normal, and you can't do it on Shabbos, who uses the hand? Do we use our hand every single day to mix together mustard? Is this something we use for donkeys? We use our hand to knead things together? No, this is human consumption. We don't use hands during the week. What you're allowed to do on Shabbos is you dafka may use your hand because that is a shinoi. You don't use your hand during the week, but you may not use a kli in order to knead something, in order to mix the mustard. So Gemara says, Itmar, Rabbi Elazar Amar, that echad ze aser. He felt that's aser to mix on Shabbos, bain b'kli, bain b'yad. You can't use any type of thing. Mixing is aser by lush. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, echad ze mut. He thought both would be permitted. You could use your hand and even a kli to mix the chardal. So Gemara then says, Abba, Abai, Rava, Dami, Tervaya, both of them hold in halacha, rather ain halacha, Rabbi Yochanan. We do not pass on Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, we pass on that both are going to be aser. You can't mix chardal at all on Shabbos. So then, after Rabbi Yochanan hearing that they didn't pass like him, come Rabbi Yochanan b'shitasa Rabbi Elazar, he ended up retracting, and he said like Rabbi Eliezer that it's echadzeh are aser. So then, come Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, who initially said they're both aser, he ended up being paskening b'shitasa the Shmuel, who said that you could use your yad, but you can't use a kli. So then, at the end of the day, how do we paskin? Abai, Virava, Damri, Tavaya, both of them hold Lamaisa, Halacha, Krib Yochran, that you're allowed to use Bain Bakli, Bain Biyad, you're allowed to mix on Shabbos. Oh, in terms of his retraction that he ended up saying, like Rabbi Eliezer, that both are going to be Aser. That's what Rashi says, actually, yes. Okay. Right, Rashi says here that the Aser, he holds that they're Aser, because Rabbi Yochanan ends up retracting like Rabbi Eliezer, Bein B'yad, Bein B'kli, it's going to be Aser. Lush is very confusing, Malach, I'm not going to go into right now, but there are basically two elements. There's when you pour things together, and then there's the actual mixing element. Depends how thick, how thin the liquid is. It's a little bit complicated, so I'm not going to go through the details, but Halach L'maisa by a Chardel, you can't mix in any form Bein B'kli, Bein B'yad. So Gemara then says, one time, Ema de Abaye, Abaye's mother, one time, Avdulei v'la'achel, that she had mixed together some mustard, and he didn't eat from it. So the Beisa de Zira, the wife of Zira, Avdulei l'Rav Chia bar Ashi, she once prepared mustard, Rav Chia, v'la'achel, he didn't eat it either. So Amrilei, so she said to Zira, that l'Rabcha Avdulei v'la'achel, to your Rebbe, Zira, he's your Rebbe, that was her husband, I make the mustard and Shabbos, he eats from it. V'at l'achal, to the Talmud's more from than the Rebbe. Fine. So then Amar Rava bar Shaba, Hava Kamina Kame de Ravina. One time Rava said he was standing in front of Ravina. Uvach shile b'shufsa de suma v'achal. He mixed together using some part of the garlic. He'd use the garlic to mix the mustard, and then he would eat it. So you see the different practices, whether you're allowed to eat mustard mixed on Shabbos, or you can't mix, or can't eat, have mixed it on Shabbos. So Amar Marzutra, less hilchasa kechal hanishmaisa. We don't pass like any of the above statements. Ela kihal de itmar, rather like the following. Chardal shalashu me'er of Shabbos, if mustard had already been kneaded from before Shabbos, lemachar mimacho bein miyad bein mekli. If it already was mixed together before, you're allowed to mix it even further on Shabbos, whether using your hand or even using a kli. And v'nosin lesocha dvash, you can add honey to the mixture, and when you do so, v'lo yitchov elam ari, when you do so, don't mix it strongly, but rather stir it in a slow type of way. So if it's never mixed before, then it's aser. If it already had been mixed before, and you're just adding to the mixture, so then that would be allowed. So the Gemara then says, Shachlaim Sheshachkan Merv Shabbos. Shachlaim, they say, means cress. So if you have cress that was ground before Shabbos, L'machar Nosin L'socha Shemen V'chometz. If it's ground, you could pour oil or you could pour vinegar into the mixture. Umam Shech L'sochan Amisa, you could add Amisa, we'll see what that means. It really means mint. We'll see the Gemara is going to tell us later on. But you could add Amisa to it as well. V'lo Yitrof Ela Ma'ar. But again, don't mix it in a strong way, aggressively. Rather, slowly you're allowed to mix these things together. So then the Gemara says, Shum Shirisku Me'er Shabbos, if you have garlic that's been pressed before Shabbos, L'mach Arnosin L'socha Pul Grishin, you can add to the mixture some types of beans. For Lo Yishchok, again, don't mix together, Elam Arev, just don't mix it aggressively, but you could stir it in a gentle way. Umam Shechas Amisei L'socha, and then we said you could add this Amisa. What's Amisa? Gemara says, Ninya, which is mint. So Amar Bai says, Shmamina Hai Ninya Malya Lasachli. So we see that if you want to make the dish of a crest to make it taste good, adding mint is a nice flavor to add with the crest. Okay. So the Gemara then says, Tanur Rabbanan, right? So it teaches us that Osin Inomlin Bishabis, Vein Osin Aluntis Bishabis. We'll see what this is in just a second. Vezihi an Inomlin, which you can make, Vezihi Aluntis, which you cannot make on Shabbos. Inomlin is yain vidvashu pilpulin, so mixing wine, honey, and pepper, that's inomlin, you can make that on Shabbos, but aluntis, which is yain yashan, umaim tzulin farsimin, you have different types of balsam and old wine and water, this is not allowed. The avdi lebe masusa lameka, the reason why you can't make this is because this was something you have put together to make someone cool off when he goes into the bathhouse, and some form of refuah, so this is not allowed on Shabbos. The Gemara then says, Amar Rav Yosef, Zimna Chada Alisa Basar Bar Marukva, the Beibani. One time he followed Marukva into the bathhouse. Kinafki Asi Ashkin Echamre Echarkasa. When he left, they gave him a little glass of wine to drink. The Chashi Mibinse, the Rashi Vatufra Dikara. And I felt this effect in my whole body became cool from head to toe from drinking the wine. V Ashkin Kasa Achwina, had I drunk another cup of wine, have a mistafina dilma minakile mizuchus da amadasa. I thought I would have been so scared that I lose the my zuchus in olam haba. It was such a good feeling, a good sensation. I thought this was my chaylik in olam haba. Okay, v'ham mar ukva d'shasi kol yoma, but didn't mar ukva, the day you go to the bathhouse, he would drink all day long, so it's not that, it didn't give you such a chill. So shiny mar ukva d'dashvei, mar ukva was used to it, he was accustomed to drinking so much, so for him, drinking all day didn't really have an effect. But apparently Rav Yosef, who didn't drink so much, so a little glass of wine had an incredible effect on him. Okay, so that's the first part of the Gadatha. Now, new Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, ein shorin es achiltis the potion. A person is not allowed to soak whatever this chiltis is. You can't soak it in warm water. Potion is warm water. You can't soak it on Shabbos. People would use this for some form of refuah. And aval nosin letoch hachometz, but you can put the chiltis in vinegar. That would be allowed. And then eat it. But the reason is because this is a type of refuah, so people would normally eat this chiltis mixed with chometz. That's what a regular person would eat. So even a sick person is allowed to eat it. A sick person, you can't do refuah on Shabbos, but if it's food that's normally eaten by other people, you're allowed to. So for example, chicken soup. A person doesn't feel well, has chicken soup. That's allowed because a healthy person eats chicken soup, so even a sick person can eat chicken soup. So placing this chiltis with chometz is a normal way of eating. But apparently, soaking chiltis in warm water, that was only derech refuah, and that would be prohibited on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says further, v'ein sholin es ha-karshinin, a person can't float karshinin, which is some type of vegetables they would give animals to eat. V'lo shafin oson, you can't rub them either. You're not allowed to do these things on Shabbos. It's some type of a bower, some type of separating, because when you have it float, it separates different pieces of the food. And v'al nosin letocha kvara, o tocha kilkel. What you can do is you can place them in a basket or a sieve that even though that might end up causing it to separate and you're going to lose some of the bad, it's going to fall through the cracks of the basket, since that's not your intention, you're just trying to put in a basket to hold it, even though memela might happen that it will separate it, that's not the clear intention, then that would be allowed. Ein kovrin es ha-tevin bekvara, you can't, however, sift straw in a type of sieve. V'lo yinenu al-gavi makom gavoa b'shul she'irin hamot, you can't place it in a high area that automatically gravity is going to cause all the lighter stuff to fall, the bad stuff to fall. That would also be some form of borer. About no telehu bekvara, but no sin letocha avis. But what you can do is you can transport the straw using some type of sieve, transport it to pour it into the trough for the animals, and even though in doing so, some of the psalos of the straw is going to fall through the basket, but since your main point is trying to transport the food, that would be allowed. So these are different types of separating where it would be allowed or where it wouldn't be allowed in terms of straw and different foods for animals. So Gemara then says, Ibarilu, when it said in the Mishnah in the beginning that Sharamai, let's say we said you can't soak this chiltis in warm water. What if one did? What if one violated this Mishnah on Shabbos? Is he chayv chatas or not for soaking it in warm water? So Sharamai. So Targumah Rav Ada Narsha Kamid Rav Yosef. Shara, chayv chatas. If one does this, he's actually chayv chatas. So what's the chatas? Asks Gemara. Amar Le'abai El Miata. Shara Umsa B'maya Hachan Amid Machayev. Umsa is raw meat. If you soak raw meat in water, you're chayv. What's the violation of soaking anything in water? Why is that a problem? So El Amar Abaye Midrabanan Shlo Yase Kederech Shu Osu Bechol. There is no malacha actually. There's no chiv chatas, but there's an isser midraban of uvd dechol. We're doing a weekday activity on Shabbos. That's a violation of uvd dechol. It's a zilzal Shabbos. So therefore, soaking this in Shabbos would just be a violation of uvd dechol. So the Gemara then asks the question: By Minei Rabbi Yochanan, May Rabbi Yanai. Mao lishros is a chiltus betonon. Are you allowed to soak it in cold water? Our Mishnah says it's just in violation to soak the chiltus in warm water. What about cold water? I'm really also, that too is also, that's also a weekday activity. Uvdu dechol. For ha'anan tan, doesn't our Mishnah clearly state, ein sharon esa chiltus bepotion only? It's only a violation in warm water. Does that not imply ha betonin mutter? To soak it in cold water, it would be permitted? So Amalei, he says, Im Kain, if that's the case, Ma Bein Li V'lach, what's the difference between me and you? Because this, our Mishnah, is simply a Das Yachid, as we'll see. And we could ignore the Mishnah. Mishnah, our Masnisin, is Yechidahi. The Tani, the Braisa, says that Ein Shorin Es Achiltus V'lo B'chamin V'lo B'tonim. This Braisa presents the position of the Tanakama that you can't soak Chiltus Bein water, warm water, whether it's cold water. And it's Rabbi Yossi, as a Das Yachid, who says, B'chamin Aser B'tonim Mutter. So our Mishnah is aligned with Rabbi Yossi. If Yossi said Das Yachid, we could ignore that Das Yachid. We assume, like the Tanakhama of this Raisa, that's Aser to soak it Bein Bechamin, Bein Betonin. Now the Gemara asks, so what's the benefit? Lamai Avdilei, what's the benefit of having this Chiltus soaked in warm water or cold water? What does it do for a person? Why is that a form of refuah? L'yukra t'liba. A person has some type of a heartache, so then this apparently relieves that pain. So Rav Acha bar Yosef chash b'yukra d'libe. One time Rav Yosef was having a heartache, also l'kamei de Mar-Ukva, and he came in front of Mar-Ukva, and Amalei Mar-Ukva says to him, zil shasi t'lasa tikla chiltas b'tlasa yoma. You should go have 3 amounts of this chiltasa, and over the next 3 days. So that would relieve your heartache. So also ishtei chamsha b'shabbos umala b'shabbos. He drank on the day 5 and Thursday, and then he had it on Friday as well. And then he wasn't sure what to do on Shabbos. Can you have refuah on Shabbos? The tzafra azil shal bei medrasha. He went to the base medrash and asked, the 3rd day falls out on Shabbos. Am I allowed to have this on Shabbos or not? Amrilei, they said to him, Tana de bei Rav Ada, v'amrilei Tana de bei Mar bar Rav Ada. Shos adam kavo kabayim veino choshes. A person's allowed to have that amount of chiltus on Shabbos and not be concerned. So here as well. So go ahead and drink it. The 3rd day of the refuah, one would be allowed to. So Amrilei, they said to him, lishos lokum in barle. So he says, I didn't ask to drink. I knew drink you're allowed to because that's a normal thing that people do. You could do any type of healthy activity on Shabbos, even if it's for a chola. My question was, can I soak it in water? Can I prepare it? That's something that's only done for sick people. So Amar Le Rav Yechiya Bar Avin B'didi Hava Uvda. I once had this ma'isa, the shayla, present itself to me. V'asai sai shayalte l'Rav Ada Bar Avin. I asked Rav Ada, l'havi b'yada. He didn't know the answer, whether he could soak this on Shabbos. Asa shilta l'Rav Huna, Amar Hachi Kamar Rav. Rav says, Shara b'tzonin u'meniach b'chama. You're allowed to pour it in, rather soak it in cold water, and then leave it in the sun. This way it will warm up, and you'll have the, whatever activity, the chemicals that work with the heat of the sun, that would be allowed. So Gemara says, Kiman the Shari. So who does he hold that permits it? Who says you're allowed to do this? Afiluman the Aser. He says, even the Tanakhama who says normally it's Aser to soak this chiltus in cold water, that's only if he didn't drink anything at all, and now the first time he's going to drink it on Shabbos, that's when the Tanakhama says, don't soak it in cold water. Aval Kaven here, the Ishte Chamshi Mala Shabbos. He started drinking on Thursday, and he started drinking on Friday. This was a 3-day medication. And now comes a Friday, Shabbos. Ilo shasi b'Shabbos. He doesn't drink it on Shabbos. Mistaken is going to be in danger for doing so. Now it's a makum sakana. Even Tanakama will agree you could soak it in cold water. Some try to use this Gemara to prove the point. There's a question of a person taking antibiotics. Antibiotics oftentimes has to go through Shabbos. You can't skip a day. It has to be every single day for 12 days, 10 days, 5 days, whatever it is. So you're allowed to take a medicine on Shabbos. So the psak of Ramosha is, if you start taking medicine before Shabbos and it requires you to take every single day, so then you're allowed to continue to take it on Shabbos. You can't take the first medication on Shabbos. If you start the process beforehand, you should continue on Shabbos. Otherwise, it sets back the antibiotics. It may not even work. You take 2 days, you stop. You take another 6 days, you stop. It may not be effective. So even though it's not necessarily a sakana, but it's based on this process of starting it before Shabbos, you could continue on Shabbos itself. Gemara now says further, Mistamech v'ozil Rav Acha bar Yosef, Akasvei to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Barachte. So Rav Acha would lean. He was leaning on the shoulder of his nephew. So Amrle, he says to him, Kimatina lebe Rav Safra alini. When we get to the house of Rav Safra, please bring me in. Kimati Aili, when they got there, he brought him in. And by Munei, he asked Rav Safra, who was the host there, Maule kaskuse kitanisa b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to clean out a linen shirt on Shabbos? Kisna kamechavin v'shaper dami. Do you say you're just trying to soften it up? I could soften if my shirt is clean. I could just rub it just to soften it up. There's no problem of softening something. Oh, Dilma, since lo lide chivara kamechavin v'aser. But since my intent it might be to make it whiter. If you have a white shirt, apparently rubbing it can make it even whiter and perhaps even shinier. So is my intent to soften something that's allowed, or is my intent to whiten something that would be a violation of libun? So that was his question he had posed to Rav Safra. So Amrle, he says, the Rakucha kitanisa kamechavein v'shaper dami. No, since your intention is to soften the garment, that's allowed. Kinafik, when he had left the house of Rav Safra, also Amrle, so Rav Nachman says to Rav Acha, my bay mar minai. What was the question you asked Rav Safra? Amrle, he told him, when I went inside, I asked him, bay minai ma'u l'kaskuse kitanisa b'shabasa. Are you allowed to soften a linen on Shabbos? Amrle shaper dami. He says, you're allowed to. So v'tibay le'le mar sudra, why did you ask about a katinasa, about a linen garment? Why didn't you ask about a handkerchief? Why dafki did you choose a shirt? So he says, sudra lokumi bar, like, didn't ask that question. Dibay mirav huna, upashali, I once asked Rav Huna, he told me it was asr. So I knew already about a sudar, it's asr. My question now was about a shirt. So v'tibshi le'le mar sudra, couldn't you answer, if you knew that it was asr to rub a sudar on Shabbos, so also it should be asr to rub a shirt on Shabbos. What's the difference between rubbing a suda and rubbing a shirt? So he says, Amrle, hasam mechse kilide chivara, hachalo mechse kilide chivara. As Rashi points out here, people apparently are more makbid that the handkerchief look white as opposed to a shirt. People are not so makbid that it looks white. So when you're trying to rub a handkerchief, it's clear that you're trying to make it wider and therefore it's usher. But when you're rubbing a shirt, it's not to make it wider, it's to make it softer, and that's why it would be permitted on Shabbos. That's the chilak. The Gemara now says the last line of Amr Aleph here, that Amr Rav Chista, Hai Kitanisa, this type of linen shirt, the Gemara says, Mishalful Lidei Mikanya Shari, Mikanya Mimena Asr. They used to hang their shirts on rods. Now the rods themselves were muksa, it's some type of wood. So the din is, if it's hanging on the rod, you could take the shirt off the rod, because the shirts are muksa. But to take the rod out of the shirt, that's asr, because the rod itself would be muksa. So Amar Rava says, Vim Kli Kivahu Mutter. If the rod they were using was some type of utensil they used for weaving or some other purpose, where in other words, it's not muksa, so then even the rod would be permitted to be removed because it's not a case of muksa. So Amar Rav Chista, Hai Kishisa the Yarka. If you have he's going to give some piece of advice to us now. If you have a bunch of herbs now, Ichazi Lamaicha Behema, Sharli Tatule. If there's a function, you could feed your animals, it's not muksa. Vilo, if it's not the roi for Michael Adam, nor is it roi for Michael Behema, it would be usher, it would be considered muksa on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Haitalia de Bisra, Shalat Tatule, if you have raw meat, you're allowed to move it, because we've seen in the past that raw meat was edible in the time of the Gemara, and not muksa, but the kavra, if you have raw fish, back in the time of the Gemara, raw fish was actually muksa, so that would be usher to move. We assume now pretty much the opposite nowadays. Raw fish is edible, nowadays raw meat is not, but back then it was a little bit different. So Gemara now says, Amar Rav Katina, Ha'omed be'emsa mita, kilo omed be'krisa shalisha. A person who stands in the middle of a bed, of a married couple's bed, so it's considered as if you're standing on the stomach of the woman. It's an inappropriate thing to be doing. And it's referring to while they're engaged in tashmish, it's also to be standing there. So la milsi, the Gemara says it's really not such a problem. Rav Kitina didn't think this was much of an issue. Amar Rav Chista says, bar bay rav, the zavan yarka, lizbein aricha. If you're going to a Talmud Chacham, a bar bay rav is a person in the house of a rav, in the house of a Talmud Chacham. So he says, if you're going to buy some type of vegetables, yarka, zavan yarka, you buy vegetables, lizbein aricha, you should buy long vegetables. And he says, why? Kisha, kikisha, orcha mimela. When you buy a bunch of whatever you're buying, I don't know, cucumbers, things that come in bundles, the amount of vegetables in that bundle are always the same size. The width is always the same. Where you're going to gain is by the length of it. They don't measure the length as much. If I buy six cucumbers and you buy six cucumbers, the width is always going to be the same. The only difference will be which ones are longer, which ones are shorter. So we're picking out which six cucumbers to buy, always get the longer ones. It's just a piece of advice of how to buy, how to gain the most from bang for your buck. The Amr of Chista, says further, similarly, bar beirave, Talmud Chacham, dezaven kanya, when he's going to buy some reeds, lizbein aricha, you should buy long reeds, because again, the same klal. Because tuna ki tuna, they always sell, you're always going to buy the same amount of reeds in the bundle. It comes with 10 in a bundle, let's say. The only difference will be how long you're gaining the length of it, so therefore go for the longer ones. For orka memela, the length is going to be an additional benefit without an extra cost. The Amr of Chis of Chista says further, Bar Be Rav Talmud Chacham Nilo Nafishalei Rifta. If he doesn't have enough bread, Lo Lechal Yark, he should not eat vegetables, Bishum Degar, because eating vegetables makes a person actually hungrier. So if you don't have enough bread to satisfy your appetite, don't eat vegetables because you're going to be hungry. So just stick to the bread and avoid the vegetables. The Amr of Chista says, Ana Lo Banisi Achli Yarki, when I was poor, I didn't eat vegetables. Lo Basirusi Achli Yarki, nor did I eat vegetables when I was wealthy. Vegetables really have no point. He explains, because Ban Yusa, when I was poor, I didn't eat vegetables because Mishim Degarir. It makes me hungrier, and I didn't have any more bread to satisfy me. So I wouldn't have them when I was poor. And Basirusi, when I was wealthy, the Amina Hecha Da'ayel Yarka, Lyle Bisavichavir. If I have the option of having vegetables versus meat and chicken, a fish, I'd much rather have meat and fish and waste it on vegetables. So vegetables are really are wasteful, and you would never have vegetables. So Amr, this goes very much against what doctors would say nowadays. You have to have a healthy diet of vegetables, and meat you have to get out of the diet. But the Gemara felt it was otherwise. Amr Rav Chista says, Bar Be Rav, a Talmud Chacham, to lo nafishale rifsa, lo lipse betsui. If the Talmud Chacham does not have enough bread, he should not be the one dividing the bread into small pieces, because he might give it out in a way that wasn't necessary, because he should have enough bread for himself, and he shouldn't divide it up. He should eat it for himself. So Amr Rav Chista says further, Bar Be Rav, to lo nafishale rifsa, lo lipse, a Talmud Chacham who does not have a lot of bread, he should not divide the bread. My time, what's the reason? Because the lo ay avid ba'an yafim. Because he's not going to give out the bread enough, and it's going to look bad that Talmud Chacham is so stingy. So if you have bread, just have the bread for yourself, and don't share the bread with anybody else. Amar Rav Chista, furthermore, ana meikara lohava b'tzana, I myself would not ever divide the bread. Adeshadi yadeh b'kul mana, until I had examined the bread entirely, v'ashkech be'kol tzarcha, I felt that there's enough for my meal. Once I knew there's enough bread for me, then I would divide it. It's not because he was stingy, but the Talmud Chacham has to make sure he has enough bread and energy to continue. Amar Rav Chista, similar statement in his name, Haiman ed'ef shalei l'meichal na'ama disara. A person who's able to live off of barley bread. Barley bread was considered inferior, but it was cheaper as well. So if a Talmud Chacham could live off of barley bread, better to use his money on the cheaper barley bread than it is to pay a more expensive wheat bread. Why? Because Ka'avar Mishim Bal Tashas, if you're going to splurge on the wheat bread, you're wasting money, and the Talmud Chacham needs the money. It's a wasted money. Papa says, a high man de'ef shalemishte shichra v'shasechamra over mishim bal tashkos. Similarly, if a person's able to drink beer and instead he drinks wine, wine's more expensive, that's also considered wasteful. If a person doesn't have a lot of money, you shouldn't be spending money on fancy restaurants, fancy wines, and fancy meat. You should go for the cheaper one. And one who does so is throwing away money, it's bal tashkos. So Vla Milsi, the Gemara says, that's not correct in the end of the day. Bal tashkos degufei adif, it's better a person's body is more important than one's money. And since wheat and wine are better for a person's body, even though more expensive, it's better to use the money on that in order to keep his body healthy. For Amr of Chista says, Bar Be Rav, the Lesle Mishka, a person, Talmud Chacham, who has no oil, Nimshe B'maya, the Charitze, should wash with some water that's found in the pits. Pits sometimes have a little bit of oil base in them. You have a pit of whatever, I don't know what type of food it is, it says it explains maybe here the pit of some algae, I don't know. There's some algae on the water of a pit. So there's something like a water oil which serves the same function as an oil. So this interesting Gemara here, just as a complete side point, the Chassam Sofer has a comment here. He says that what's the mashal right here, he says, I forget how he connects this. The Chassam Sofer says that the importance of chidushim of Torah. So the reason why making chidushim in Torah is so important, he says, even if the chiddush isn't true, you're making a wild chiddush, and the Chassam Sofer was actually known for making wild chidushim. I once asked Rav Shecht about a Chassam Sofer, a chiddush and shas. He says he never understands Chassam Sofer because of such big chidushim. But he says here the reason why chidushim are so important is because we know by memory, the way memory works, is when a person says the wilder it is, the easier it's to remember. So if you create a whole wild story with, like, I don't know, fireworks and colors and sounds and everything in your mind, some wild chiddush, it's going to stick to your memory much better. So even though the Torah itself may not be emes, you'll remember that sugya because you attach it to a very, very odd story. This is pretty much the mahalach of the zikr program, of helping remember things. There's a story for each daf, and the wilder it is, the easier it is to remember. So the Gemara then says, Amar Rav Chisda, Bar Beirava, Tanu Chacham, the Zoven Umsa, who sells meat, or rather buys meat, Lizben Unka, he should buy the neck. Why the neck? Because Is Be Tlasa Mine Bissa. There are apparently three different types, three different flavors that are on the neck. If you buy the ribs, it's one flavor. You buy this part, it's a different flavor. But the neck has three different types of meats there, and therefore you could taste all three types of meat. The Amr of Chista, says further, Bar Beirav, Etam Chacham, the Zavan Kitunisa, when he buys some type of linen material, Lisbon Midinahar Abba, he should buy from the area of Nahar Abba. Apparently they had very nice linen there, it was a high quality. Benichvai Kal Tlasan Yaman, he should clean it every 30 days. The Miftei Lei Tracer Yarchishas, it's going to then last for a full 12 months if you treat it properly, Vana Arva. And Rav Chista said, I will be the guarantor that this is actually a good method in preserving this. My kitunisa, what exactly is kitunisa? We've been talking about linen up until now. My kita, no, it means a very nice, a nice fellowship, literally, but referring to a very nice garment, a nice linen shirt. The Amr of Chista says, Bar, Bei Rav, Atam Chacham, Lo Leisev Atzipsa, Chadasa. A person should not sit on a new mat, the Machle Mane, because it's going to ruin the clothing. So apparently, the mat's going to stick to you, it's going to pull, some of the cloth that you're on. So don't sit on a brand new mat, wait for it to, smooth out first. A person in Tamil Chacham should not send his clothing to the Baal Bas, the woman who's hosting her, you should not send your clothing to her. Why not? The Lav Orchara, it's not their Eretz in doing so, because Dilma Chazibe Miti Vasa Lemigne, the hostess, the Baal Bas, might see something disgusting on it. Maybe there might be some Shichla Zera that she sees and she'll find it disgusting. So Tamil Chacham, you should not have your laundry cleaned by the whoever's hosting you. So Amr Lahu Rav Chisla bin Bante, he told his daughter a number of different things, a piece of advice as they get married. He says, Teve Tsinusan Ba'ape Gavraichov, this actually is an interesting makor, we'll see. Some of the, at the end, it's a bit of a descriptive thing about Tashmish, which we'll just kind of say and you'll figure out on your own reading Rashi. But this is kind of a explanation of how important it is to have a chasen shmuz before a chasen or kala gets married to explain different things that take place in the bedroom. So he says, Amr Rav Chisla Bante, he would tell his daughters, Teve Tsinusan Ba'ape Gavraichov, you should be very, very modest in the presence of your husband. Lo techlen anama ba'ape gavraichu, one should not eat in the presence of the husband. It's going to be disgusting in front of him. Lo techlen yarka b'leila, don't eat vegetables at night. It's going to give someone a bad breath. Lo techlen tamir b'leila, don't have dates either. Lo tishun shich b'leila, don't have beer at night either. These are going to cause stomach aches. Lo tipanin hecha demafni gavraichu, a person should not go to the bathroom in front of the husband. V'ki kari ababa inish, when a person knocks on your door, lo timrin manu ela mani, you should not answer. What's the difference between manu and mani? Manu is when you expect a man to be at the door. Mani is in the female. So a person should ask, when a woman says, who's there? In the Hebrew, it's a difference of who's there versus the man versus the woman. You should presume it's a woman at the door, and you should not be used to having a man come knock on the door. So always have that mentality that you expect, oh, mani, which woman is here? As opposed to saying, which man is here? Even though you might know it's a man, always address them as a woman. And then finally, the Gemara says, and this is just a derech mashal, Gemara says, referring to Tashmish Shemitah, Nakit marginisa bechad yade, v'kur bechad yade. You should hold a pearl in one hand and something a kiln. I'm not sure what a kiln is, but something else in another hand. But it's a reference to different body parts. The Gemara Rashi explains, marginisa achvele. One should hold the marginisa, v'kura lo achvele, but don't show the kura ad the mitzvah until the husband is in great pain and suffering. Then hader achvele. Then one could show the other part. So just look at Rashi. I'm not going to explain here, but just to understand what's going on here, Rashi says, "Nakit marganisa bechadi yadei v'kura bechadi yadei kishibalecha mimashmish." When there's tashmish b'yacha, lisavos leich lishtashmish v'oches hadadim b'yado achas v'acheres ad osamakum. So it's describing giving eitz and tashmish. So the Gemara then says, finishing off the Gemara right before the Mishnah. Ein sholnes hakashinin, a person should not soak the kashinin, you should not allow it to float in the water, because that actually is a way of separating the kashinin from the ochel and the psolas. So Gemara says, masnisin delo kiaitana, the Mishnah is not like the following brisa, the Sanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, ein mashkichin bekvara kol iker, that he felt you should not separate it at all. While our Mishnah says, although you can't have the kashinin float and soak in the water, you may place it into a sieve. This price clearly states you can't even place it in a sieve. So different debates of machlokas of how to whether this type of separating would be allowed. Okay, now is the Mishnah. So this is a different type of a gatavah. It's not a gatavah of stories. It's the gatavah of very technical things. And I guess there's some interesting piece of advice that take place here as well. So the Gemara now says, the Mishnah teaches us that gorfin milfnei haptam, let's say a person has a stall that we have ox eat out of the stall, or the area where they'd sit, you're allowed to sweep it out. We're going to see various activities that are allowed or maybe not allowed for the benefit of an animal. The issue of benefiting the animal is a question of tircha. How much tircha could one do to benefit one's animal in Shabbos? So they say gorfin, you could scrape out and sweep out milfnei haptam in front of the ox so that it's clean for them to go eat. You're able to push off the food, so no excrement gets on the food that they're eating. Divri Rebbe Dosa. And Chacham Osim, he felt that these are aser. We'll see whether he's arguing on the first case of the Gorfin, or he's arguing on the Misalkin, the second case, or he's arguing on both of them. But Chacham aser, because this is too much tircha when it comes to Shabbos. So the Gemara then says that finally in the Mishnah, Nolin Mithnei Behema Zu, Minosin Mithnei Behema Zu, B'Shabbos, you're allowed to take food from in front of one animal and place it in front of another animal. That will be allowed. That's not considered too much tircha. So the Gemara then says that Yibar Yilhu, Rabbanan, when the Rabbanan say it's Aser in response to Rabbi Dosa, were they saying Aser Aresha Pligi, only on the Resha, which was the case of the Gorfin sweeping out the stall, or Asefa Pligi, or were they only arguing on the Seifa of pushing off the food to the side, or perhaps, Al Tervai Pligi, they're arguing on both statements of Rabbi Dosa. So the Gemara says, Tashma, the Tanya, the Chachamim Omrim Echad Zeb Echad Zeb Lo Yisal Kenel Tzadim, he felt in both cases it would be Aser to move. And Amr of Chista, Machlokes Be'evas Shakarka. This whole debate between Tanakam and Rabbi Dosa is only referring to some type of a trough that's in the dirt, that's attached to the ground. It's Aser to sweep or yes sweep. So the Rabbi Dosa says you can sweep the trough that's on the ground. Chacham says you can't sweep it. Baval Evas Shakli, but if it's a trough that's detached, it's in a kli of some sort, divrei kol mota, you're allowed to certainly sweep from the kli. So the Gemara says, v'avos shakarka mi'ik l'man d'shari, would anyone allow one to sweep an avos that's attached to the ground? Isn't that problem haka masha gumos? If it's attached to the ground and you're sweeping the dirt, isn't that pretty much smoothing out the dirt, and that's a violation of choresh? How would Rabbi Dosa allow one to do so? So Ella, if you want to say Yitmar, Hachimar. If you want to say the Machlokes, it should be as follows. That Amr of Chista, Machlokes Be'evash Shakli. The debate is when sweeping out a Kli, that's where they debate whether it's allowed or not allowed. But when it comes to Aval Be'evash Shakarka, if it's a type of trough that's attached to the ground, Divir Kol Aser, that would be us even to Rabbi Dosa because of Chorish. Let's finish the Gemara now. We're doing pretty good actually in timing. So Gemara now says, Menolin Milfnei Behema. You could take food from in front of one animal and place it in front of another animal. So the Gemara says that Tanakha, the one brisa says, Nolin milfnei behema shepia yafe. You could take food from a mouth of the animal an animal whose mouth is clean. Venosin milfnei behema shepia ra, and you could place it in front of an animal whose mouth is dirty. So we'll see what that means in just a moment. So then Tani Idach, the other brisa says, Nolin milfnei behema shepia ra, and nosin milfnei behema shepia yafe. You could also do the opposite. Take from an animal with a bad mouth in front of the animal with a good mouth. So Amar Bai says, Idi v'idi, mekame chamra lekame tura shaklinan. A person may take food from a donkey and place it in front of a shore, in front of an ox. But mekame tura lekame chamra lo shaklinan. But you can't take from in front of an ox and place it in front of a donkey. So what's going on here? So the Gemara explains that v'hadikatani, that which Abraisa says, notel mifnei meima shapia yafe, you take it from an animal with a clean mouth. It's referring to a donkey that doesn't have any drool, any saliva dripping down. That's what it means, pia yafe. It's a clean mouth. But no, so the fnei behemah shapira, you could give it to an animal which has a dirty mouth, which is a bipara, an ox. Apparently, a para, an ox, has a jewel. This a ruri. The hard the katani, that which it says, nolim mifnei behema shapira. You could take from an animal that's a bad mouth, the chamor, the lo daiki, v'achil. It's referring to a donkey whose mouth is, they're not makbid what they eat, they'll eat anything in front of them, but nolim mifnei behema shapira yafa bipara, the daiki v'achli. So what he's saying here is, even though the brises seem to argue with each other, Pira and Pira Yafa, he says they're actually both talking about the same thing, that you could take from a donkey and give it to an ox. But they're just describing different things here, because donkeys, on one hand, donkeys are Pira, because they're not mocking what they eat, but on the other hand, Pira Yafa, because their mouth is clean, there's no jewel dripping down. But either brisa, even though they're describing, one's describing jewel, one's describing what they eat, it's both referring to only from a donkey to an ox is permitted, but from an ox to a donkey, you cannot switch the food. This is reference to...